personal me that wants to be something in this world, unaware that this world is not my Father's kingdom. Why would I want to be something in this world that is not my Father's kingdom, when to be the very least in the kingdom would be greater than the greatest in this world? And so we have a turnabout here. We're not going through this wide gate if we want heaven. We've got to find a different route. Those people who heard Jesus speak these words knew all about that. In their highways in those days, you know, robbers were all over the place. And so all you wanted to do if you wanted to be robbed was to go down the wide highway wherever you were going. And if you didn't want to be robbed, you had to find another route, a narrow, constricted route, devious, turning, not the wide open highway. And it might take you very long to make the trip, and you might come out with a few scratches. It wasn't very comfortable, but you got there without being robbed. You took the straight and narrow gate. And here we're told, don't expect, but it is. The road of a disciple is not in the least comfortable. It isn't easy and plush. But there's no other way to the kingdom of heaven. Enter ye by the straight gate. For the wide gate leadeth to destruction. It leadeth to the end of a cycle called human life and the beginning of a new cycle called human life and an interminable reincarnating cycle of human life. Destruction and birth, destruction and birth. Why? Because we live through the wide gate. We live as the human being fulfilling the human will. But there is a divine will. And the divine will is the narrow gate. And if you haven't found the divine will, it alone leads to life. And yet here we have been thinking we've been living life, and we're not. Life isn't the human experience. The human experience is only the womb for life. The rebirth of the spiritual self, takes us out of the womb of humanhood into life. And when there is a response in you to this statement, then you're looking at the narrow gate, which is the will of the Father in you. That will of the Father in you is the straight gate that leadeth to life. What is this narrow, this straight gate that leadeth to life? Has it got a name? It has. I. In I is the will of the Father, for I am the light. I am the way, I am the wine, the bread, the water, the resurrection. I in the midst of thee must be found, for I am the straight gate. Now you can look everywhere else, outside, in churches, in temples, holy mountains, holy grails, but I within you am the straight gate. And if you want life, you must come unto me, for I am the way to life. Now that's quite a radical departure from our human way of living. And it's laying the cards on the line that you cannot find life eternal, which is the only kind there is. You cannot find it except through I. that I in you, which is the Father expressing, which is the Christ of your being, which is the soul of you, the spirit of you, the light of you, the self of you, the one I that is omnipresent every moment of your life. This is the I, and it has the will of the Father, and it must be your shepherd. All others are false prophets, false shepherds. And so now we're being narrowed down to the gate where the substance of God comes into expression as life. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They had a lot of prophets in those days. The real good prophets were always stoned. The reason they were stoned is because they told the truth. And those who weren't stoned, in most cases, were those who catered to the gullibility of the masses. If the king wanted something, why, they promised the king he'd have it. Sure, they'd save their own necks. And they were called prophets, but they were false ones. And the other false prophets, they're still around today. The false prophets are those who are teaching what is not the truth of God. Now the masses are receiving the word of the false prophets. For the word of the false prophet says, come to me and I'll show you where God is. Come to me and I'll pray to God for you. And nobody can pray to God for you. Nobody can even take you into heaven. It's impossible. Beware of the false prophet means beware of the teachings which are out there. Believe me, nobody on a pulpit can do much except point out to you where the truth must be found. And any teaching that tries to show you that it is the truth is not the truth. There's no such thing as a teaching which is the truth. A teaching is merely a pointer to tell you where to find the truth. I within you am the truth. The way is so straight and narrow that even you can't find it until you are dedicated to seeking it and asking for it and knocking for it. And now it answers the question above. What shall ye ask for? What shall ye seek? What shall she knock for? I, the will of the Father in you. How will you know these false prophets? By their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, figs of thistles? Does it work, in other words? Truth, if it doesn't work, isn't truth. It's just parading under the name. What is truth? Truth is God. Truth is Christ. Truth is harmony. Truth is peace. Truth is perfection. Truth is abundance. Truth is the fullness of God expressing in you as your being. Do you experience it or not? If not, you're studying with a false prophet. Those who come into truth find that truth does live their lives and does show forth spiritual fruitage. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, the Christ teaching had many healings called miracles by the uninitiated. And these were the fruits. These were the fruits that you could see. somebody with a crippled arm or a crippled leg, somebody with a demon inside who no longer had the demon, somebody hungry who was fed. These were the fruits of the Spirit, harmony appearing where discord had appeared to mortal eye. Now then, these are the reasons we still have healing work today. The purpose of the Christ message isn't to heal anybody and make them very happy, comfortable human beings. It does that incidentally. This is the fruit, the added things, perhaps. It's the evidence of principles that work. Truth in action. And so wherever you cannot find the fruits of truth, it is wise to know that you have not found truth. And it doesn't matter how high you have reached in any form of work, even in truth seeking. If the truth is not functioning in your life, you do not have truth, and you may as well awaken to it. When truth is there, realized in your consciousness, it objectifies itself as peace, harmony, protection, abundance. All of the things that are of the Father are manifest in your life. They must be, or else truth is not in your consciousness. And so it would be wise to take a good long look at your life and say, if I do not have truth, I cannot have the things of the Father. And maybe that's why Genevieve and Mary and Joe, who have been studying what they call truth so long, come out with broken legs and broken backs and diseases, because the word truth was a misguided word for them. They had a tare instead of the wheat. They followed a false prophet. And to narrow the false prophet down, it's generally the human mind. That little old tempter, Mr. Satan himself, saying, I am the one you should follow. And yet your true teacher is always going to cut you loose and say, join me and let us both go within. For the Father is the teacher. I have nothing to say to you. If I speak to you of my own self, I tell a lie. The Father within, he doeth the works. I have no doctrine. Now we're coming to something very important. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? Remember this, because many of us go around doing this in the name of God. And in thy name haven't we not done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's not enough to use the name of God 500 times a day. Just the association with the name or with the Bible is not enough. You're being told you can hold this Bible in front of you or in your living room on a great big pedestal so that everyone who comes in sees it and says, look, they have a family Bible, and you can have sessions in your house every morning and night with it. But it's not enough. It isn't the proximity of the Bible or the reading of it. It's doing the will of the Father which is in heaven. And you don't know the will of the Father which is in heaven. And no man on earth knows the will of the Father which is in heaven. And no human mind knows the will of the Father which is in heaven. For only the Father knows the will of the Father. And you see, we have come to a point in the Sermon on the Mount in which the greatest revelation of the sermon is not in the sermon. And you'll catch it in a moment. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now let's call that rock truth. Absolute, utter truth. Not human truth, not man truth, inner truth, Christ truth, God truth. I will liken him unto a man which built his house upon Christ truth, a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now the rains, the flood, the winds, you know what they are. The human problems. The tribulations, the persecutions, the diseases, the attacks, the ill health. All of these come and they blow upon the rock of Christ's truth. But it stands there. It dissolves all that which is unlike itself. It is too pure to behold these iniquities. They cannot come nigh thy dwelling. Thy dwelling is Christ's truth, the rock. And so this is your complete and utter total eternal life. Building your life upon Christ's truth. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The teaching of the false prophets. My personal interpretation, which is not Christ's truth at all. And then the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell. There's a cancer victim. There's a Vietnam victim. There's another fellow hit crossing the street. The rains fell, and the house fell, and great was the fall of it. And this is the human scene, the human tragedy, that we have not built our lives upon Christ's truth. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now let's see why he taught them with authority and not as the scribes. We go right back to the beginning, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. You see why he was giving them the word of authority. He had gone up into a mountain. He had ascended in consciousness to the point where he was one with God. The words of God were flowing. And they were feeling the power of the words of God, not of a man's interpretation of anything. And this is the great revelation of the Sermon on the Mount. It is teaching you that the power in your life, the power of protection, of law, the power of truth, in fact, the Christ truth itself is only available to you when you learn to live by revelation. You must do likewise. You must climb that mountain. You must hear the direct word of God. That's the only way you'll ever know the will of the Father, and that is the straight and narrow gate. Few find it. Few will stay with it. Few will knock long enough, but there is no other way to the kingdom of heaven on earth. It does not come by observation. It does not come by conversation. It does not come by reading. In the final analysis, you've got to close the book, and you've got to go within. You've got to find the straight, the narrow gate. You've got to climb the mountain. You've got to listen. You've got to be receptive, meek unto the inner word. That's the story of it. That's the meaning of the Sermon on the Mount. And instantly, when you're doing this, you're living by direct contact with God, which is mystical Bible. Now then, when you're living by direct contact with God, and there's no other way to live, this is knowing God aright, and this is life eternal. That is our goal. That is our quest, and that is our dedication. Thy will not mine means, Father, to you alone do I listen. I have no teacher but thee. Isn't it clear that we who have fallen by the wayside, we who have been thorny ground and stony ground, we who have walked through incarnation after incarnation into destruction, have done it for one simple reason. We have been divorced from the inner word. Now then, in the subsequent meetings of this class, we're going to try to build that ability to be receptive to the inner word. We're going to trace some of the great miracles which were performed by the adherents to the very principles of this Sermon on the Mount. We're going to show how Jesus not only preached them, but how by practicing them, he was able to show the fruits of the truth which he knew. We're going to try to practice these truths and show the fruits of them. And then very shortly, we're going to discuss the revelation of St. John in its entirety. And so this is the plan of this class for the next few weeks. Now then, meditation is the way to begin to live by inner revelation, your straight gate, your narrow gate. And so, when you have found the ability to be still, to enter your closet, to take your 40 days in the wilderness, you will be following the sermon in its great revelation that the kingdom of heaven is on earth now. It's not in the hereafter. It is only separated from you by virtue of the fact that you have not opened up to inner revelation. Inner revelation says, I am the way. To what? To the kingdom of heaven on earth. I am the resurrection. To what? Into the kingdom of heaven on earth. I am the rebirth. I will take you to the Father's house. But you must be still. You must be listening. You must be meek. You must be obedient. You must be pure at heart. You must be spiritually righteous, not humanly righteous. And now we find that we meekly give out our hands and say, take my hand, Father. I'm listening. I'm following. You're my shepherd. And the Father says, then listen, be still, and know that I in the midst of thee am mighty. Follow me. Come along, Matthew. Come along, Philip. Come along, everybody. I in the midst of thee. Follow thee, I in the midst of thee. This is the Christ. Follow the I in the midst of thee. Whether your name be Matthew or Philip or Nathaniel. And I will give thee light. This is a straight and narrow way to life everlasting. Let us not neglect the preparation for the great event of the still small voice, which speaks and melts the earth. Let us prepare the way, just as we would till the soil before we planted. Let us unclutter the jangled human thoughts, the crossed wires, the glasses darkly that mitigate against this purity of heart. Let us judge not. And you see, as we go back now into the miracles, we're going to unclutter our thinking as we stand behind Jesus, watching him do the mighty works, until we can go forth and do likewise, until we can let the Father within do the greater works, which are covenanted unto man. Be free to bring any questions that you want to ask, written, whether in longhand or typed, makes no difference, but bring them written if you want them answered. Just lay them down or give them to Mrs. Fitch. And be sure that we want you to know that we all have one united goal, and that is to all come into the receptivity to the inner word. Keeping it sacred and secret within, telling no man, but letting the Spirit do the works. I don't know how many of you will be here next week or the weeks to come, but those of you who are not, please remember that the straight and narrow way to the Father's house is only through revelation from within yourself. Not my revelation, not even anyone's revelation on earth. It must come to you direct from the Father within. And this will always be your answer to every form of outer discord. Let that be your goal, your pearl of great price, and when you receive it, sell all to keep that one great pearl. It is the miracle worker within every man, the living Savior. It is the Christ coming in every man on earth. We have contracted for the Emerald Room across the hall for most of the subsequent meetings. And that's where we'll be next week. So thank you very much. Anyone here is also welcome to come on Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock to the Drake for the Infinite Way meetings. Thank you.